This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Good morning, Kia ora. Welcome to Free Left Turn, a show with a left-wing perspective here on 89.0 Free FM, independent media, independent community media. To my left, to my right is Fred, I should say.
Good morning.
In front of me is Mick.
And,
this is Craig.
Okay. Greetings, everyone.
Greetings, yeah, to you all out there. The thing is, I just noticed to the right, I should say, Fred's got a tour receipt. From the new world.
Yeah. Do you want to start off with this?
Go for it.
The start off. I've been away in the Coromandel Peninsula during the sunny week. So I come back and got some groceries and not many, say. But what was interesting? Guess how much I paid for a quarter of a cabbage?
How much?
$3.
So quarter times four makes a cabbage $12.
Based on a rough kind of size.
Butter be round.
I don't get any butter.
8 or 9. I've even seen it.
It's $9, $10.
For a pack of butter.
Yeah. So you know.
Cost of living is going up.
Yeah. So you know, a loaf of bread just for the basics. There's only 17 slices of actual bread inside my loaf.
Have you noticed the slice is actually getting thinner
and lighter,
despite the thick, toasty? No, and you're thinking that's even thinner.
Yeah.
And when you toast the bread and decide to put your spread in it, it suddenly shrinks to about an eighth of an inch.
Yeah.
But it's mostly air and water in the bread.
But yeah, mince was $21
a kilo.
So it was. What else did I notice? And there was actually something on special, and it was beef eye fillet steak. And because I got no few teeth missing, I can't tend to chew it. Older steak.
Pretty gummy.
Yes, a bit gummy. So I tend to get that, and it was on special. It was on special because it looked a bit old.
You've got to be suspicious about some of those specials, aren't
you? Of course you do. But I used to work in a butcher shop, so I thought that's all right.
So you cast an expert eye over it.
So, and I think we talked about, guess what eye fillet steak's up to?
$30?
A kilo?
Yeah, a kilo or more.
Where have you been, Craig?
More than 30.
I don't buy it. So
yeah. More than $30 a kilo.
$72.99 a kilo.
Yeah, so
what?
This doesn't
bode well for Eric and Stanford's idea of making true competition between supermarkets.
I think where I stopped as far as high-end meters, T-bone steak.
Okay, well, that'd be quite expensive.
Scotch fillet.
I haven't bought meat.
But what you were saying there, I thought,
I haven't bought meat in years.
Yeah, but if you buy meat...
Because of the cost, it's just prohibitive.
Yeah.
So do you...
Well, you get an idea, and this is not supermarket gouging as such, it's more that market forces of capitalism. That's what, you know, beef prices are really strong.
It's actually cheaper for me to get my meals from a nearby takeaway. I'm not talking about just fish and chips or a burger.
Sweet and sour pork, for example.
Something like that, or sauteed chicken or something.
Yeah.
It's cheaper for me to do that than it is to go to the supermarket and pay that and then come back and then use the stove to cook it.
Yeah.
So We have people like under work and income, they'll have to eat a specialised diet because they may have something
or
like
diabetes,
or they may be intolerant to gluten or lactose. So they have to buy a specialised diet.
That's expensive.
Yeah, and sometimes for some people, the specialised diet is almost like the normal food. It's called normal food that we as those who don't have those health issues can eat.
Yeah.
So if you put that on as your diet plan as a special food under work and income, they won't accept that.
Yeah.
You just have to make do what you can get.
Yeah, and then the problem with that is it sort of compounds your health.
Yeah, and then it costs even more because you've got to stick them in hospital.
And et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But it just shows you, luncheon was $16, just under $16 a kilo.
So was that the little chubs or
that? Little slices of lunch.
Oh, yeah.
Little boys, I'm not allowed to say that. Cheerios were $15.
I thought you were talking about Trump.
$15.50 a kilo. They actually don't even call them Cheerios anymore.
What are they?
They call them
cocktail sausages. Yeah.
They used to be called little boys when New Zealand were
Cheerios or polonies.
Cheerios has gone to cereal.
Cocktail sausages.
Anyway,
most of the items are pretty dear.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you can see the list. It's 4 inches long of that.
And so it's
112 $112. And I did get a bit of that eye fillet because it was on special.
Mm.
And two small bits cost me $14.31. But it was probably worked out about $45 a kilo.
Gee.
You know, so it's not cheap. And I said to the lady, the shop ticket lady, well, you know, how do the poor manage to do this? And she just said, oh, it's awful. She said it's really, you know, they put things back and try and juggle.
Some of them will have the green payment card, and they'll have food entitlement.
Yeah.
Which you're aware of.
And this one is in Hilquist, so it's the clientele is reasonably well-heeled. So the food bank shelves are all quite...
But you'll have pockets of... deprivation.
But what I do remind people is people are still, if you do give to the food banks, that don't just give them cereal for breakfast.
You need milk to go with the cereal.
You need milk. They get inundated with it. And it's, that's what I call a middle class thinking. Oh, you've got to have a good breakfast
on the bin where you drop the food off, is there anything that says, if you're going to donate, just
donate? No, they're not. And I've often thought they should actually,
Because obviously people don't think.
Well, it goes back to your normal.
Mm-hmm.
The person's normal.
I have breakfast, I have cornflakes, so I'll give them cornflakes.
Yeah.
They haven't made the connection to what goes with the cornflakes.
No, and the circumstances of people. So
I'm a cornflakes person. I've been a Weet-Bix person.
But people take that and think, that's what I need. I'll get them some, you know, a Weet-Bix will be good for them, etc.
I suppose you'd be saying that.
And it is, but they do get inundated with
donated
that.
Porridge.
Yeah.
You need the milk to go with the porridge.
Yeah. So what you need to do is either to not buy stuff that either is a meal. In itself. Spaghettis or...
noodles and...
Yeah, all that.
Stuff like that.
But also consider mums with kids who are struggling and the kids are hungry. Buy them things like jellies and raisins, stuff that they can... instead of hassling you, buy them stuff that mum can just hand out a packet of chips
raisins,
or something. It's actually giving those kids a bit of a break.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Toothpaste. Buy some hygiene stuff.
So that charity bin's still going at that.
Yeah.
Because some of them have cut back, dropped.
Well, I say, because the Hillcrest one is reasonably
affluent,
it gets good, strong support.
But I imagine other supermarkets must struggle. I imagine the supermarkets over Dinsdale, it would be...
Well, the trouble is, of course, it's fickle. We've talked about this incessantly, I guess.
Dinsdale, frankly, I imagine the charity bins must be half full if they're lucky.
Charity is fickle.
Yeah.
You have a bad week.
You can't afford it.
This week I bought them. What did I buy them? I bought a couple of lots of peach, you know, packs of peaches and jelly for the kids and a couple of packets of those biscuits.
Biscuits. Yeah.
I'm still thinking, okay, what is mum? Mum's been hassled. The kids just need something to... A
couple of biscuits to keep quiet.
We had something very interesting. This act is in that charity model, though, Fred.
Yeah.
I've got a client who struggles to get a. They should be on a specialised diet because of their diet plan. But
they can't because winds. Did you say winds won't cover it?
Or? Yeah, because it doesn't sort of fit that criteria of specialised food or special foods. Special foods are really those like gluten free, lactose.
They cover those ones.
Yeah, they do.
But if you've got a special dietary needs outside of it,
which is what they call normal food, you don't fit that model.
So it's down to someone's definition of what's normal food.
It'll be a legislative definition, yeah.
Great.
So we have a client who struggles to get vegetables and stuff like that. So one of my colleagues, former manager, because we have a veggie pack, and we have a veggie bag every Thursday for people who pay prepay. Mm. So she prepaid this one for this person.
Yeah.
So and we took it around to her place on the Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's quite interesting though. I used to be a gardener up at Stone Store up at Kerikeri years ago. And we had surplus, you know, we grew a vegetable garden for the image of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And used to give it to the food bank. But in the end the food bank said, look, we can't move them people, you know.
But we didn't want the vegetables.
Couldn't move enough of them. And I noticed I don't think they have vegetables at the one in Hillcrest supermarket or anything. It's too hard.
So we got
because they're perishable, of course.
Yeah.
And you know they've got to get there, and then they've got to go to wherever they're distributed from and all that. So you don't have milk, you don't have meat products or frozen foods. You just basically have stuff that's in packets or
tinned. But the aim with the tinned stuff is, have they got a tin opener, for example? That's the other part of it. The thing was that this client also has companion pets in the form of what they call social companions, rabbits. One of the vegetables was celery, so they could actually quite eat the.
The rabbits like celery. Because I've got a certain daughter's rabbit store at my house, but that's another story. But that's interesting. On rabbits, and here's an interesting one, just to completely go to the side, rabbit poo is an extremely good fertiliser because it's a cold fertiliser.
Yeah.
So you can just chuck that on the plant and it's cold, doesn't burn the roots.
It's organic.
Really. Yeah. Yeah. So there, yeah.
So you look after her rabbit.
Yeah.
And you provide it with food.
Yeah. And it does poos. And then I make either liquid fertiliser out of the rabbit poo, or you can put it on straight because it's not what they call a hot fertiliser.
Chicken's hot.
But
rabbit,
Well, sheep pellets, I suppose, would be sort of the same sort of thing.
Rabbits do poo poos always in the same place.
Oh, Sandy.
Yes, but like a pig often does the same, so they're not,
So it doesn't crap at its own nest.
Yeah, you've seen pretzel, he's got a little pile of pellets, so there you are, folks,
Is he a specialised rabbit?
He doesn't look academic to me.
He's very dumb. He's extremely dumb.
He's some sort of
breed.
Exotic.
Not
quite sure.
But he's not the brightest rabbit in the...
He's very food orientated.
Mick was rabbit in charge of the rabbit while I was away.
I think unless he's Bugs Bunny, I think most rabbits are quite thick anyway.
So the cost of living, with no surprises, it's going up. Food's going up.
Well, and goes back, you know, everyone's blaming governments or whatever else.
But we're paying the prices that they get overseas.
Bottom line.
Yeah, unfortunately.
So I don't see this. I mean, they talked about this a few weeks ago about how they're going to institute real competition between the supermarket chains.
No,
it won't happen.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, that's where my socialist sort of thinking. I would just say, right, we need to have some government intervention on stuff. I said it out loud, but you know.
And unfortunately, parties on both sides of the aisle wouldn't go there.
No, they won't.
Too much like, get hands off.
Despite the rhetoric.
Yeah, in our case, the look of it, the farmers can enjoy your beach houses, etc., more and everything else, because they're getting good prices for everything. And they do some spending. Mm.
But if it had the cost... What amazes me, the fact they keep on grizzling. Mm. They're never happy.
Yeah. Well, they probably are, but they just they can't help it.
Yeah. Habitual moaners.
Yeah. Speaking of farmers, can I just have a little irony? I don't know if it's irony or stupidity or...
Both.
I can't say the last one.
Can we decide for ourselves?
Yeah. I was driving over the Coromandel when you go between here and you got to Tahuna, and then you go across what they call the swamp.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it used to be the swamp, and now a lot of it's farmed, and you come out at Pyrrhul.
And
there must have been some rain, because I went across on last Sunday, and there's quite lots of water, flooding on the low line paddocks that should have been a swamp. There's my green thing. Anyway, driving there, and just as I'm leaving the sort of flooded area, the road's fine, but the paddocks are all in flood. There's two old signs with stop three waters, and all surrounded by flooding everywhere. And
how ironic!
I actually swore. I just thought you went. But, you know, and that was just a straight, right. Here's a plot. That land, go back to my socialist thinking, that should never have been allowed to be farmed in the first place.
Yeah.
And even now it should be, that's a low-lying area. Let's just buy it back off the farmer.
Well, good luck with that one.
Not over here, not in this area.
I like dreaming. What an irony, the sign of. And the trouble is, I was going the wrong way.
Did you take a photograph?
Well, I didn't. I was going the wrong way. And I came back. I thought, I must get a photo, but of course,
the photo would have made a perfect caption. Can you spot the mistake in this picture?
Yeah, what's the irony here?
Well, that won't be the only one. There must be others.
Oh, there's lots around. And it's all on rape. I'll bet you all of it's just about the racism behind it. Māori is having a seat at the table. Let's face it, now all councils are running around doing amalgamations and doing all sorts of stuff.
Isn't that another
which is sort of three waters?
I was going to say that's another. Isn't that another word?
Three waters without the M. Without the M.
Yes, but you got something else where the Māori have been put in, or it's probably the language actually been put in place, Fred.
You're talking about passports.
Passports.
Yeah.
You got that, Fred.
Well, here we go again. They've decided that in their wisdom, our government, that we have to have the English on top.
How pathetic is that?
Well, anyone's got a passport. It's quite visible. You can see the Māori and the English.
Well, only if you're myopic.
You may be. Or you cover your hand on one of them if you really...
I just don't see this problem with bilingual...
sharing the same space.
They're going to change that because, you know, that's how it should be. So that's just straight
supremacy.
Thinking?
I know we were talking about it before we went there, but dare I ask for the people listening... Are they going to use the existing stock of old passports
Hopefully, because there's a large excess of unused passports.
And the cost involved in producing those...
Yeah, the article was a bit unclear because I did look and said, are you going to use them or not? But it just said there is a large stock of unused
passports. Yeah, but are they going to use them? There is a lot of
issue. It didn't say yes or no.
That gives you the answer.
That's a worry.
It gives you the answer. If they won't answer it, that's an answer in itself. It means they're going to do exactly what you think they're going to do.
Yeah.
And dump all those one hopes, but unfortunately...
So
that's
the passport. Yes.
I just don't understand this. Yes, I think it must be racism.
I smell a Winston Peters.
Because, let's face it, do we look from the top down or do we look... Some people look from the bottom up. Is on top when you look at a bottom-up person?
I mean, I pick up my passport when I use it. It's not an issue.
No.
This is official. This is what they've done. Okay. Not a problem. I just don't get it.
Yeah. I don't get it either. I think it's petty.
It's petty.
It's petty racism.
It's
sort of...
Yeah, but you said the word supremacy.
It's a supremacist type thinking. Yeah. We can't possibly do that.
We can't have Māori sharing the same table as those
individuals when it suits them. We'll talk about...
Oh, I'm quite happy to have the haka at the All Blacks game.
When it suits them.
When they're at the...
And we're all New Zealanders together when it suits them.
Yeah.
But another side.
Rank hypocrisy.
That's right, Mick. Mm. That's dead right.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
And you were talking about the voting, which I'm quite interested in.
Yeah, but of course.
Yeah.
The potential for disenfranchisement.
Another thing that our darling government has decided is that we're going to not allow people to do last-minute voting for...
They talked about this a while ago, didn't they?
Yeah.
When the first lot got into power, didn't they?
But it's been announced that basically they'll end enrolments the day before early voting starts.
So does that apply to local elections and as well as national elections?
This is just about national, I believe. Right. You know,
I can imagine some city councils might think, well, that's a good idea. We'll close the registration booth on the...
Could have an impact because, of course, we get our local voting comes off the electoral roll anyway, the addresses. But the excuse basically is, it's too slow to count the votes if we wait. Because anyone who votes late at the last week or two, it goes into special votes.
Right.
So the special vote numbers have gone up huge. And they're saying, this is what the government's saying, they're saying that The trajectory is that if we keep allowing special votes in voting time, more and more people are choosing that system to vote late.
Right. So these aren't the special votes like people from overseas. These are people
who haven't registered in time in the country. But it does go into the same pool.
Yeah.
Mm. So of counting, and that's going up.
Yeah, and who does special votes favour?
Yes, the same people that they
I call it. What do you call it?
Disenfranchised.
I call it voter suppression.
It's disenfranchised
by stealth.
By stealth.
Yeah.
So because who votes last? And they had the stat. It was a very good article.
It'll be the elderly who can't get to the polling booth or whatever. Yeah. Don't have the means to register.
I said it was the poor, Maori, and there was one and migrants.
Migrants.
And the youth, sorry. And youth. It wasn't so much, it didn't identify poor as poor, but there will be a lot. And it was youth, Māori and Pacific.
So it doesn't sound like they're going to go the way of Britain and have voting at 16 then.
Well, they're trying to, let's face it, the old Tory way was, let's hope it, this, I, and I've hope been, it, when I was
chucks,
young,
hope it chucks down
I
the
heard
rain.
That comment so many times at election time.
Praying for
let's
rain.
Let's hope it rains.
Mm.
Let's hope it rains. So this is their strategy, now that we have early voting, the old let's hope it rains on election day isn't as strong.
Mm.
So now it's like, well, how can we stop
from the, they do it from the back end.
That's a terrible thing for democracy. We should be encouraging people to vote.
Incentivising
and how to get them to vote is a big one to try and keep people. Mm. But let's face it.
It's about the status quo, isn't it?
It's about protecting the status quo, this type of thing. But, of course, the Nats and New Zealand First and ACT are all as thick as thieves on it.
And I'm afraid Labour is not clean about this either.
Well, Labour's at least said, he's come out and said it is.
Yeah, but past experience, they've been just as iffy about the issue as well.
Yeah.
And other parties, it's not just the current government, it's all political parties
have been
a bit tardy and
I think Labour's been pretty good because generally it does favour them.
Yes, better.
Yeah.
But they've got faults as well, I think.
And what does it matter if it takes 3 weeks for the final result?
Yeah, what's the problem? Doesn't this meet their fast track? Boom, boom, boom.
Because we still have a government. Let's face it, you have elections.
It doesn't matter, the government's still
operating. It's there
as a caretaker
government. Yeah, but it's still there.
And even if the government wasn't there, the civil servants keep the country ticking over.
And notice, even if it's a clear result straight away, nothing much changes for until everything's declared anyway. So what's the problem?
There's no challenges, but it's all done and dusted.
Yeah, but there's no major policies happens. And
but they're making out there is one. That's why
So they're protecting their status quo.
It's pretty nasty.
A dirty low down trick.
Well, it's a dirty trick to democracy.
What was the phrase you used? You were quoting someone who described those who didn't vote. What was the phrase?
Dropkick.
Mm.
That's Sleazemore's comment.
So he disregards.
Was it him? Was it?
Yeah, he disregards them as what flotsam.
Yeah. Well, their argument is that if they should have got to act together to register.
Well, there's a lot of factors at play in
well,
why
we
they're
know
not.
That, but yeah,
but
you're right.
He's going for the cheap soundbite. And
yeah, of course.
Never mind that people might have a long distance to go to get to.
Yeah. Well, lack of understanding.
Or don't have the means or don't have the coverage to register online.
But Fred raised a good point off air around people who are moving multiple places. At,
Of course, yeah. And people who.
Again, 20% of the population don't have the same address for in a year.
That's a lot of people on the move, isn't it?
That's a lot.
So, you know, trying to keep up.
The bureaucracy, it would be a nightmare.
Yeah, and they are changing that. They are going to allow some more access to information from other sources rather than just rely on envelopes.
When they say other resources, I hope they just don't say online.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because that seems to be a get-out clause, because that seems to be the throw and the catch cry. Oh, well, they can just do it online.
Yeah.
But as we discussed before, the coverage is not universal across the country.
Well, you imagine if Benny gets chucked out of his house by the landlord.
The last thing he's going to worry about is registering the loan.
And how's that for the officialdom to trace him down, for not just anything, not just enrolments, education things, health letters from the hospital,
GP, all that stuff.
And you've already been turfed, you know?
And if you turn 18 on the day of the election, too bad.
You've got to wait another 3 years to...
I wonder if you could pre-register saying, can I register before those 30 days?
I hope you would think so. But this lot, you can't guarantee it.
But you would think so.
Because if they're interested in disenfranchising, why would you go down that road? You say, too bad, you're going to have to wait. You're going to have to wait 18 months or whatever.
What they're really trying, the real target is
preserve the status quo.
Preserve the status quo, but also just to make it difficult. Because, you know, let's face it, to be real, if you're struggling, you're poor, you're bad English school, and you put any roadblocks that are in there, in the end you tend to go, it's too hard, stuff it. And I've heard that up at Moira.
And if you're one of these people who's constantly having to move... You just walk away. Just think.
It's not your priority, which
is understandable, but you know.
Yeah, and I think I told you this is a friend of mine. Oh, Brian, he's been here saying in Moira one election, and it was like everyone was for Honey Harawira and Te Pāti Māori or whatever it was called then. I think it was called then. And I was like, well, Honey, and then Brian said after election, did you vote for him? Oh no, they didn't vote.
Yeah, that's what happens.
There's a big disconnect between...
Yeah, disconnect between and that.
And unfortunately, that feeds into the argument from those that are thinking, well, yes, democracy is wasted on these people.
Well, that's
the attitude. They're wasted, don't vote. Should we bother?
We see that at the Māori wards.
And all parties are guilty of that sort of attitude.
Yeah.
And I immediately think of the days before we had MMP.
Yeah.
Even Labour was
was
dragging its feet when that was being mooted.
Well, we see that in the UK, of course.
Because they've always started. They had one step of the disenfranchised for vote prisoners, wasn't it?
Yeah. I'm still undecided about that. I'm not sure if I'm a relic from old times, but the idea that if you were declared an outlaw, then you lost all rights.
But there are people in prison who should not be disenfranchised because of the.
Yeah, well, I guess I'm thinking of sort of the violent criminals, maybe.
Well, they may. Yeah, well, yeah.
Well, in America, felons aren't allowed to vote.
No, once
forever after
yeah,
that.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm still undecided. I mean, I can't quite.
Okay.
There should be a matchup between what the crime that you commit and your loss of civil liberties, isn't there?
Yeah.
But then obviously you regain them once you've done your sentence, obviously.
But I guess it
would be really hard to try and come up with a definition, eh?
And
be making money for lawyers because they would love that sort of debate.
So I'm still
undecided about it. The reason I'm thinking of there's a case recently where someone was done for killing a young girl. Was it the beginning of the paper, the beginning of this week? The case goes back a few years. A young woman was 20.
Yeah.
He killed her and he's got something like 3 years.
Okay. I don't know.
Was it sort of a manslaughter or something like that?
Yeah, it was something I thought, yeah. Oh, no, it's what, no, sorry, he got life, but he could have parole. And I immediately thought, well, how do these people get... You've taken someone's life, that life is gone, they've lost, it's got...
Yeah.
But the person who perpetrated did it gets the chance of getting his life back.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was... I'm not sure who was that one, but I know...
Yeah, I think it was late last week. It was a young woman in her 20s. I'm just trying to remember the young girl's name, and the boyfriend, I think, was the one who killed her.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's a trick. It is. But, of course, you do your two-thirds time and then...
good behaviour.
You can...
Well, talking about that, you see that case of the cop who killed Brianna, the young woman in the house in America? Cops raided it. The boyfriend thought they were burglars, so he opened fire. They killed him, and she was sitting in the couch, and she was shot by this guy, this cop. He's got 3 years for that.
Okay, I heard somewhere that one cop got a day or something.
It was the same cop. And then they were talking about, oh, you give him only 1 day, but now they're giving him 30 months. So he'd be out half that time in good behaviour if he survives being a cop in prison.
Yeah,
I think they protect them in there, don't they?
I think so. Probably quite a few. Yeah.
Prison ain't perfect, eh?
Hey, I've got a bit of a positive.
We have a positive before we have another negative.
Okay, the positive is in the UK, Jeremy Corbyn and Zara Sultan is president's got no name, the party, but it's they just call it your party as sort of a temporary title. But they've had... They only open submissions for sign up for an email list, and they've already got 300,000 on their list within 26 hours.
That's encouraging.
That's really encouraging, you know, because first past the post is the bad thing about it, but it certainly shows there's a
groundswell.
There's an interest in that, and people know that there's something wrong.
People I don't know if you've seen the latest Jonathan Pye clip. He marks the first 12 months of Starmer. I won't quote it because
it swears a lot.
He nails it in 5 years because he said everyone's noticed there's no difference between the government they've got now and the one they had for 12 or 15 years before.
Yeah, yeah.
But as you pointed out, the trouble with the first pass, but there might be a groundswell of support for Jeremy Corbyn's Independent Party, but the system doesn't allow independence very often to get through.
Well, and of course, what could happen
is... You split a vote and someone else comes through the middle.
So, okay, Corbyn's party gets some, Labour gets some, and the Tories go through the middle.
Or they get the numbers and they don't translate into seats.
Yeah. So, but anyway, the callers on the left is right. Okay, the Greens, because the Greens have got a good progressive platform as well. Zach Pulaski or something like that. But anyway, who's been very out there. And but what the sort of what I call the true left commentators are saying, what we need to be under first past the post, we need to be strategic. As much as it sort of runs democracy a bit, in the end, what's the point of having two candidates?
What's the point of having principles if you can't actually be in a position?
Guy through the middle because, and of course, their parliamentary length over there is it 5 or 6 years?
Five years.
So they haven't got an election now for another. Four years ago. So it's a long time.
No, I think
time.
It's 4 years because Pye talks about you've almost done a quarter of your first term. So he's took four.
I know it's a long time. I thought it was five, that's for the left, because let's face it, Corbyn is definitely, we know he's a true socialist.
Well, I wonder how many of those were former Labour Party members.
Be heaps.
Because when Corbyn was there were 600,000 members in the Labour Party.
Well, what's interesting, and this isn't actually a membership list, but it's an email list, but if he's already got 300,000, Labour's only got 360,000 members. And under Corbyn, Labour had 600,000 members.
Yeah.
And so it'll be interesting because, you know, the world is realising that the capitalist model that we have doesn't work. It works for some, but it doesn't work as a general system.
But it's also the fact that the people in charge, they're incompetent. Either incompetent or corrupt.
Or disconnected. Keeping the status quo.
Disconnected from
I saw the clip a few weeks ago with... Rachel Reeves crying in Parliament because Starmer wouldn't confirm that she would still be Chancellor
Yeah.
So you've got these idiots in charge.
Self-entitled
sycophants.
Yeah, but it'll be it will still be a challenge for Corbyn and that, because you know, the left, unfortunately,
implode.
We can often fight over petty things and not keep a strong message. Sit back
and pick up what who's left.
Of course they do.
Yeah, of course they do.
You think the left would have woken up to this flaw in their?
But they don't.
It just
continues in this country.
Yeah. Well, of course it does. Instead, people
would start to make the connection that we can't start fighting amongst
ourselves.
United
we stand, divided we fall.
Exactly. So,
it's more
than just a mantra. It's a strategy.
And I think you talked about it, Mick, a few weeks ago, about it's that identity politics. We get caught up in some of the stuff rather than what's the big issue.
The left disagrees about what are the big issues.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
Like the environment and no more wars and all the rest of it.
Yeah,
I'm not saying the other stuff isn't important, but
it's like when you vote. Yeah, we all go along and vote, and it's like I'll be quite honest. I tend to vote green. Sometimes I vote green red. I have, and when I was young, voted blue. But you vote. You can't say, well, I really like that about... Not many people can say, I love everything the Labor Party offers. I love everything the Greens offers. No. You tend to go, well, what's the issue important to me?
Mm. See, once you could vote on the character who's standing in your seat.
Yeah.
Right, because they would stand for something themselves, even though they might be representing a party.
Oh,
but now... It seems candidates are following the party line.
Well, especially if you're listed.
So you can't. Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm just about the constituent one. So you've got no way of differentiating this person's quality as opposed to that person's qualities now. It's just like the parties.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's.
Yeah. So we all have to. You all have, when you vote, you all have to make, just people make. You compromise and go, I don't like that about them, but even the big thing is this.
Even if it means the basic thing, are you better off?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't particularly like that sort of strategy, but as a way of trying to motivate people to participate, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I had the experience yesterday of listening to the person who represents the seat that I live in.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not in that electorate, but I live in the area.
Yeah. Right.
And...
Less than impressed?
Unimpressed.
Mm.
And it was the subject matter that I was deeply unimpressed. There was two actually. How they're trying to pull in council spending, councils spend their money on, and what they don't do.
That's the usual one.
But the other one that got me was homelessness.
Mm.
Whose fault was it?
Or blame game again?
Blame game. Usually a lifestyle choice or blame the individual.
I hate that phrase, lifestyle choice. It really annoys me.
There'll be some
that might make that choice, but the vast majority.
The wider issue was that none of the other examples, like, for example, the rent's too high, we've been had a migrant influx.
Those
kept out of the picture. No, it was either your fault or lifestyle.
Mm.
Mm. And the numbers are going up.
To me, homelessness, there's various factors.
Those are the sort of comments you expect from smug,
self-entitled,
self-serving sycophants.
And hence.
What was that? And hence.
Well, and hence, they say it. You know, they're self-entitled, that's their normal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They could be like me if they just worked hard for their money.
Yeah, and that's their
thinking.
And you know how we hear this comment it's Labor's fault and stuff. And we had a in the crowd or the audience, we had a person who said that. Well, that's the first time I actually experienced somebody actually saying it in public.
And what did this person say?
They were talking about. I think the leading comments was around the price of butter.
Mm.
Yeah, but then he came up with this comment. Oh, it's Labor's fault.
Yeah,
which is BS.
It's a trite cliche which is overused.
But they all use it.
They all do it.
Let's face it, our politicians use it. Well, if they can, especially when you first get elected, if you're a new government and you're from a different party, it's their fault.
Yeah.
It was their fault. The reason we have to do this is their fault.
Well, we would have done it, but we can't because of those people.
Yeah, they got us in this shit through COVID or whatever.
Yeah. All I could and that's the only time I ever said something. I said, well, do we just better not go there?
Yeah.
That was my comment.
They're so trite, that saying.
Yeah.
You think people would have woken up to this.
Yeah.
They're just so blinkered and stupid, they go along with it.
I think I concur with that.
I'm trying to be charitable to my fellow human beings, and sometimes I find it really, really hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I learnt later that the person was, like me, he's a JP, and I suspect that his appointment had something to do with the party that he voted for.
Yeah. Well, it is a surprise.
Mm. Yeah. We told you it was a club.
Yeah. But I don't belong to that club. So I belong to Craig's club.
Yeah, good.
but unfortunately, the cost of living is going up.
Yeah, it has.
Homelessness is going up.
Yeah.
And they want to encourage more immigrants to come in, so the problem's not going to go away. It's going to exacerbate.
Yeah, I had to sort of applaud TV1. I don't really applaud them much.
That must have been a rare moment.
How they spoke to these people who were homeless living in situations, saying, it wasn't a lifestyle choice. It wasn't their fault. It just happened to be circumstances.
Yeah.
Anyway, I can actually solve the homeless problem. And when I was driving through the Coromandel, there's a heap stack loads of empty beach houses.
Mm. Oh, yeah, I've heard this too before.
A stack load.
Now, you're the sort of socialist they really worry about. Confiscation of property.
Yeah, I
tend to agree with that.
But when I was driving past, I think,
they've said there's lots of old state houses that are just lying around, well, not lying around, but abandoned or empty. Yeah.
Yeah. It's also ghost houses.
Why can't those be relocated to areas that...
and also...
I guess it's the cost. There's always a cost involved. But
there's also that simplicity. I think they often think... There's a lot of people like myself, etc. I could live quite happily in a lot smaller house. And there are some of those projects happening more and more.
It's ironic that lots of people spend all their life trying to expand the size of their abode.
Yeah.
And they get to the latter end of the lot and they want to downsize again.
Yeah. And let's face it, your last house you're in is only about six foot six and how wide?
And made out of a piece of native timber.
If you're a particle board. Yeah.
Yeah, but the good thing that was on TV, on the news, was that they'd opened a homeless shelter in the, I think it was Napier or Hastings.
Okay.
All done with the work of the community.
Yeah,
and right. When they presented the article, I said, thank goodness there was no bloody MP there.
Yeah, good.
So it wasn't turned into a political photo opportunity?
No, it wasn't. Good. So it was basically people...
Was it Palmerston North, did you say, or Napier?
Napier Hastings, one of those places.
So what sort of things did they... people discuss similar to what?
They just applaud how the community had got together and to raise the funds for this.
Okay.
Well, good on the community.
Yeah. Yeah. They spoke with the mayor. They spoke to the person running it. They spoke to somebody who was going to be living in there. So it was all cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, that's good because
there are good news stories
like that. Yeah. That's what I'd like to hear.
I mean, was it council involved in this in Napier?
Yeah, it was council involved because the mayor was there.
So you sometimes wonder how long that's going to continue if councils are expected to be, toe the line and only spend money.
What's council business?
Yeah, but Fred mentioned a few minutes ago about, was it you, Craig, about interference from government about what councils can spend?
Yeah, we kind of both mentioned it.
So that sort of philanthropic approach could be hampered.
And we've already seen by the local electioneering going on, what are they all talking about?
Rate control.
Rate control, cutting costs.
Efficient government, blah,
yeah,
blah, blah.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
They waste money
So they don't expect their councils to be in this part of, say, community safety, for example. Yeah. Having these events, we've got ethnic groups in our community, bringing communities together.
They're pushing with no community, no community feel-good stuff.
Well,
it smacks of socialism.
Because that's
the gel that keeps communities sort of together. Is the libraries, is the swimming pool.
Because if you improve those sort of services, then you've got a much better society and hopefully reduction in crime.
Is the balloon fest, is the, there's all sorts
inclusion
of things.
Inclusion means...
Does. Yeah. Right. Sports fields, you know. Yeah, yeah. Where do you do it? Sport, everyone out, you go out there today. The sports field, who maintains them?
Yeah.
The council.
Well, but some people don't see, don't need that because they don't use it.
Yeah.
Okay. Cycle ways to keep other people safe.
Yeah.
Well, have you noticed that some of the bins aren't getting empty as often as they used to? Bins of chocolate and there's garbage everywhere.
Yeah. Now, I've got one more.
Yeah, right.
And it's quite deep. So I'm not sure.
Hello.
Yeah, it's deep, and but it's actually there's a new film out, and it's called Apocalypse in the Tropics, and it's done by this Brazilian a woman from Brazil, Petra Costa, and she's got a little bit of a what do you call it, a CV, because she got nominated for a Oscar or whatever for her previous movie, Edge of Democracy.
Right.
Okay. But anyway, she's done this movie. Basically, is about Brazil,
right,
and Bolsonaro, and
the big Trump.
And the rise of it all. And it's sort of about, and basically, she said this movie is about political manipulation of faith, one of the biggest, greatest threats to democracies around the world.
Evangelicals.
Yeah. And so she said, although this is about Brazil, this actually is what's happening
around the world.
And she gives an example that it's like Brazil in the 1980s, about 5% of the population were evangelical. Now it's 26% and growing. The Catholic Church, just to get a comparison, in those times, the Catholics, they were all Catholics. They were 91% Catholics.
Mm.
In Brazil, that's declined to 57%.
Wow.
And it was interesting, she said about Bolsonaro, that when he was just a right-wing politician, you know, probably what you call bordering on, far-right, you know, whatever, wasn't particularly interested in religion, etc.
Now suddenly he's...
And then he got in this evangelical thing, and of course that propelled him to getting the presidency, etc. But what's interesting, she said, there's this guy who's actually an evangelical pastor, Silas Malafaia, who's basically his mentor, almost, she implied, a sort of puppet master.
And
he controls the evangelical movement.
And I
saw the shorts. If you go onto YouTube, just look up Apocalypse in the Tropics, and it's actually out now on Netflix, etc. And it'll come to theatres or onto mainstream at some stage. But it's just what was interesting. The couple of things that she said is that Brazil was a strongly Catholic country.
But
at the time in the 90s, did I write it down? I think it was in the 90s, during the Cold War. The Yanks were worried about big bad Russia and communists and socialists, etc., taking over, which Brazil was quite interested in.
Mm.
And, of course, the Catholic Church was pushing that sort of socialist-type activities, being very progressive. So they brought in, they encouraged evangelists to go to Brazil and speak, Billy Graham and people like that.
No.
Yeah, so... That's where this sort of has come from. So, and she said, what the issue is in Brazil right now is that the evangelical movement wants to expedite Armageddon.
Because they believe
because
in
of the upcoming of Christ. And so,
and they want to accelerate.
So, they need chaos. They need chaos. They need all that to happen. For this to happen.
Yeah, and, it pulls in more punters.
Yeah, and just to finish on that, the trailer looks really interesting, but for what I saw on the thing, if you get a chance, Apocalypse in the Tropics. But I'll just finish with the quote. She said, "We've seen the rise of religious fundamentalism joined by nationalist, conservative and extremist agendas all over the world, from the USA to Russia." And when you think about it, what's happening around the world.
Mm.
We see it even in New Zealand,
Destiny
Church, that even New Zealand First, that this nationalist thing. So, and it's quite a scary thing. America's another one.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening the everywhere. Far right, Nigel Farage, you know.
Mm.
And so this is sort of, I think this would be a really interesting film.
Because
she said, although it's about Brazil, it applies around the world.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So she was nominated for an Oscar foreign film, I suppose.
For the Edge of Democracy film, the previous one.
Category,
yeah.
Foreign film.
Yeah, I imagine so. So, yeah, so this will be,
There was another one by Palestinians also up for an Oscar, or is that coming?
Yeah, there's been some.
Been a few,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, basically, Roman Catholic, and we know this from the Roman Catholic priest who were killed particularly in Latin America during some of those... insurgencies,
But the link I noticed, I know when Bolsonaro was his last election on the one before, his wife turned up to the polling booth in an Israeli T-shirt or something. Right. That's the link. There's the link between America, Israel, Zionism, far right. It's sort of
evangelical. America's interfering. He's called for the trial of Netanyahu to be dropped. He's called for the trial of Bolsonaro to be dropped. He's doing the very thing that interfering in the country's laws and everything. But if anyone did it to them, they'd be up and
stick out of our business. Russiagate, for instance. But it's interesting you say that, because just remembered. Coffee, of course, Trump's weighing 50% tariff on Brazil.
Mm. Coffee.
And part of that is about taking Bolsonaro to trial. For what do you call it, resurrection or something?
Chapter 6 type thing.
So they're doing that. So, but of course, America's biggest import, I believe, from Brazil was coffee.
So the price of coffee is going to go up.
It has shot through the roof, and of course, people say, oh, it's just American thing, but it's capitalism. So of course, someone says, well, you got to pay $4 for that coffee in America. You New Zealanders have got to pay. Whatever, $7 for.
Well, even our local coffee, it's gone up to $6.
Well, I'm saying, I paid $3.59 for the cheapest brand of coffee. You used to be able to get them for sort of $2 something. That coffee price is going to go up around the world. So everyone gets.
And it's not just from the tariffs, it's also from environmental issues too, that, and supply.
Cocoa as well. At the end of the day.
But that's just going to.
Yeah, but of course everyone jumps on, whether they get the coffee from Brazil or not, everyone goes, oh, well, that's what people have to pay. Sorry, it's capitalism, it's market forces.
And once they could do that, prices come back down again. No, you manage to find the money for one bit.
Yeah, it stays there.
And it stays there. That won't come down.
So that'd be an interesting one to follow.
Very interesting. Because
Americans love their coffee.
I think we got. What have you got there, Mick?
What time have you got?
You've got 10 minutes.
Oh, right. This is what I thought was a bit of positive news. I know it's fickle and it could change, but poll not favourable for National. New poll shows majority not happy with the government and think the country's on the wrong track. And this new political poll has the National Party heading towards one term in power, with a majority thinking the country's on the wrong track, disapproving the government's performance, and a near majority believing it's time to give another party a go. This is poll done by the Talbot Mills polling for commercial clients, and Talbot Mills is also Labour's pollster. Concerning for the National coalition government is the response to broader questions, including that 76% thought the economy was not so good or poor, and 23% thinking it was good or excellent. That tells you 23% think it's good and excellent. They're doing very well, nicely, aren't they?
Well, they're not moving from house to house.
No. 21% expect the economy to get better. Same individuals, while 37% thought it was going to get worse. And within the Coalition Act, supporters were more inclined to believe National deserved a second term. No surprises. With 67% agreeing and 13% disagreeing with that option. New Zealand First supporters were nearly equally divided, 40%. Thought National deserved a re-election, 43% not. This remained the case in this newly obtained poll, which had Labour 35%, National 32, Green at 12, ACT at 8, New Zealand First at 7, Te Pāti Māori at 3.8. And it was a margin of error of 3.1.
For them to live their wet dream, as I would say.
Same individuals think everything's a hunky-dory.
But we've got things that will help them. Potential disenfranchisement, for example.
And let's face it, you're off at the beach house on the weekend, etc. You know, who you're talking to, you're not actually talking to Benny you're talking to your neighbours.
Reinforcing your bias.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. That's the normal.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, so I saw this. This done the rounds on Facebook. Mm. This particular thing. Yeah.
Another one I caught was Wednesday. Was council leaders braced for public backlash? Officials fear a new set of performance data could be taken out of context and used to paint a simplistic picture of Hamilton. Data just done on July 28th will compare councils of similar size and type across New Zealand, with Hamilton going head-to-head with Christchurch, Wellington, Tauranga, Dunedin, Hutt and Whangarei City. In the first instalments, the department says, will be an annual series of comparisons, but councils fear the slim data set could be taken out of context and used to paint an overly simplistic picture of Hamilton's financial performance.
It's an apple and orange thing, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, of course it is. And it's also...
They're getting worried that people are going to get really annoyed that the council's not as efficient and fiscally responsible as it should be.
We shouldn't be compared with Wellington because they have major problems with their water infrastructure. We don't, for example.
Well, I wouldn't mind being compared if we had our social justice.
Yeah, that would be excellent.
And if the outcome was greater efficiency and fiscal...
But it's sort of people standing for election will grab cherry picket.
Oh, cool.
We
need to put a cap on rates.
There was only one person on that bus. We should cancel the bus service.
Another one caught me out was tree rule a burden for developers. This is on Tuesday's paper. Yeah, Hamilton's got a draft tree policy. It's under fire from developers and engineers who say it risks stalling growth, adding costs, particularly for infill and high-density housing. While the proposed policy aims to provide consistency and environmental benefits in how the city manages more than 100,000 public trees, some of the development sector warn it could unintentionally choke off a momentum in New Zealand's fastest-growing city. Pragma Homes, in a formal submission, said the plan's rules around tree retention, removal and replacement could create unintended barriers to timely an efficient development. That's just business BS, isn't it? It's we don't want the regulations because it's interfering with our ability to just ride rough shoulder, right?
That's the issue there.
Yeah, the draft plan was first released in May, which is the first attempt to formalise Hamilton City's council approach to urban tree management. And I imagine that would also incorporate parks, areas.
Just to remind everyone, of course, remember when we were going to be the world leading light of car racing around Hamilton City and all that?
We
took out some old trees, etc. And then what happened?
Oh, it all fell on its
the
face.
The car racing fell out, or the trees are gone, and now it's a car park.
That's what happens.
Yeah. So the same individuals don't want regulations because it interferes with their money making ventures.
They're probably the same types of individuals who will secretly have a tree cut down at night or drill a few holes and then put a bit of poison in it.
But
they'll go over to their beach house or whatever and think, oh, isn't it beautiful, all the trees.
All the trees. They've created a wasteland somewhere else.
Unless there's a pahutakawa blocking their view.
And then that's happened over in Thames. I remember the highway round in Thames, and he used to go underneath the pahutakawas.
Yes.
Some individuals...
Some of them have gone.
Interrupted my view of the sea, but... It makes it more interesting if you have to peer around a tree. They just wanted the open view of the...
It's what do you call it? Status. Nuts. It's about status. Yeah. Or look at it, I've got a sea view,
But it just shows you that people with money don't necessarily have class.
Yeah, what happens if you have a bit of a swirl at sea or something like that and the cliff's gone.
Mm. Yeah. And I see that Green Party Transport spokesman Julie Ann Genta appeared in the paper yesterday, and she's pushing for wants Kiwis to sign a petition to restore passenger rail services in New Zealand, starting with a Hamilton to Tauranga link.
Yeah, I saw that. Good on her.
Mm-hmm. We need rails.
Yeah,
we need, because it's the most efficient way of moving large volumes of people and cargo.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
yeah, it's just yes,
and sorry, but on that particular note, we're out of here. You'll find us Free Left Turn and podcast on Facebook, and you can also have a nosy at freefm.org.nz.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.